Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 7:22. Yvonne says, why can't I find out why? Why all the atrocities happen to the Jewish people? Can someone fill me in, please? And Roland says, so much more important that those of us who are not Jewish also loudly and boldly say never again. Not with the PC self-righteousness, but with sincerity. And I think that's a very important point that Roland is raising, because it is so easy to hashtag something, and it is so easy just to say the right thing at the right time. But how do you actually say it with sincerity? Joining us this morning, Mary Klook, director at the Durban Holocaust Center. Mary, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me, Howard.
The steep rise in anti-Semitic incidents all over the world is obviously of great concern. I also just spoken about a survey conducted in Israel that shows that 47% of Israelis polled are worried about another Holocaust. How does Holocaust education assist in maybe preventing, maybe dealing with some of these issues?
Thanks for the question. As you know, I'm the director of the Durban Holocaust and Genocide Centre, and we have centres in Johannesburg and Cape Town and Durban. And the work that we do, I believe, is essential, pivotal, if we're going to grow a generation who are sensitised and conscientised as to what can happen when human rights and human rights violations are left to go unchecked. So the idea of Holocaust education is taking this exceptional case study that is the Holocaust and applying it in a way that resonates with young people. Because as we know, hatred doesn't begin with gas chambers. The hatred in the case of the Holocaust began with how people spoke to one another, how people were victimized as the other and scapegoated as the other. And there are many manifestations of how that is actually achieved, whether it's through international media or media in general. In the case of the Rwandan genocide, the labeling of people and the knowledge that people were called cockroaches and blasted over the radio, specific group of people. And in the case of the Holocaust, we spend a great deal of time unpacking what was the lead up. How was it possible? And I mean, these answers are not, finite. We don't have all the answers. But how was it conceivable to get to the point where 6 million Jews, 3/4 of European Jewish population, were murdered simply because they were Jews?
When we educate people or when we speak about this, the numbers are so vast that they almost become meaningless. How do we deal with that aspect? How do we take it from something that, you know, to some extent, I always joke on radio about something being 3 billion light years away. I don't even know what that means. I don't know what one light year is, let alone, I don't know what 1 billion anything is. So,
exactly.
You know, and I find to the same extent, we talk about 6 million as though, well, it's a number, but what does it actually mean? You know, during one of the songs, I was talking to Mukundi, our sound engineer, and telling him the story of my grandparents. And that very personal story made, I think, so much more of a difference in our discussion than a number 6 million.
Absolutely. You know, first of all, it's a really important question. And secondly, you've provided the answer. That's 6 million, as you say, is a number. You can't, I mean, people start to sort of try and create some statistics around how many rugby fields, and it's irrelevant. The point is, this is one plus one, and we get from there to 6 million. And each individual story, personal story, are what bring it home for all of us, and particularly for young people who haven't had exposure to the story at all. You know, I always quote this, but it's almost inconceivable. And I have grade nines who stand in front of me, and I've been known for them to say, but man, Jews, they must have done something.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to find an answer. Everybody wants it to be, oh, well, of course, because,
right.
You know, and I always say to them, do you think that black people in South Africa did something?
Right.
You know, the point is, it's one person and one person's individual, very personal story. And I just wanted to, if you don't mind, share a wonderful and very exciting educational tool, I guess, that we've just implemented in all three centers.
Absolutely.
It's a hologram. I don't know if you're aware, but a number of Holocaust survivors have, through the USC, the Shoah Foundation, mm-hmm. have been interviewed for hundreds of hours with thousands of questions individually, with literally hundreds of cameras around them. And the USC has created a hologram where you can, at the screen, speak to by asking questions of Holocaust survivors. That is so lifelike and so real. And this year we've introduced that into our program. We used to share the stories of Holocaust survivors because, sadly, in Durban, there are no longer Holocaust survivors alive.
Right.
But we used to, and we still do, share the stories where they read the story. And every child in their evaluation or every learner will always reference, what was the most meaningful part of your workshop today? Hearing Carmela's story, hearing Jack's story. Now that we have this hologram, we engage with the story of a survivor, Pinchas Gutter, who's still alive and robust and wonderful, living in Canada. And people are able to take a microphone and say, Pinchas, do you believe in God? And they get a cogent, intelligent answer.
Wow.
And it's honestly, I think that it is a beginning of the future. You know, we've been vexed with this question of where to when the witnesses are no longer.
Mm.
But the impact on young people engaging with the survivor on the screen, and in certain cases, it's more than a screen, you know. This was the most unbelievable gesture where the software has been shared with us without any cost. But you can imagine that in the structured form of the hologram is even more lifelike. But this is extraordinary. And the response has been, and each school comes with different questions, and they all are absolutely mesmerized. We literally have to, after a long morning, say to them, you know, you have to go now. It's
amazing.
Wonderful. So
isn't that incredible?
I think that just absolutely reinforces
and quite,
the
it quite literally
day.
Brings it alive. Absolutely.
And the story is about my father, my grandmother, every single one of those. I mean, there's a section in our exhibition at the outset of a village in Bedgin, and we have 360 photographs of individuals. 5,000 photographs were gathered at the station in a suitcase, because when the Jews reported the deportation, they had to bring an ID photograph of themselves with them. And the photographs, some of them we have now in our exhibition, and we try to start to say exactly what you said. These are individual faces. This is somebody, and often they'll say, please can we have a moment, and they take their cell phone and take a screenshot of one photograph and hold it with them.
Absolutely.
So I think
that's how we
make the story.
One person
sound,
one story.
Sound meaning, you know, yeah.
Mm. Mary, we do need to leave it there. Mary Klook, Director at the Durban Holocaust Center, talking to us about Holocaust education and as a way to prevent anti-Semitism. It is 7:31. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.